really good chance that GC's mom knows she's there. It was a great big surprise. Ralph has never been there. Ralph has never met her family. That's what the big deal is. That's why it was so great. So she was going there this morning to say, hey, I'm here, and now you can get everything ready for us. And because they don't celebrate Christmas on Christmas. Well, they celebrate Christmas. They don't give gifts on Christmas. They give gifts on January 8th, which is Three Kings Day. I had no idea about any of this. So everybody's going to have to pull everything together because they're not expecting gifts or GC at all. So it's going to be great. So that's that. So thank you so much to Kellen, Angel, and Mariah. It's awesome. Okay, kids. Actually, let's pray before you go. Okay? Dear God, thank you. Thank you very, very, very much, more than we can ever express. Keep us right here, right now, wherever we are. We love you. Amen. Now, hit the brakes. Okay. What we're doing, this is the end of the Work Rest series within a series and all of this stuff. And today is the truth about everything that brought this all together for me, and it took me apart and kind of changed my life. So, as it turns out, the message was supposed to be a one-off, and it was going to sound an awful lot like last week. That was the one that was in my head that I've been preparing for weeks, months, until this stuff today happened, and then everything changed. That's why it became this bigger thing. So, this is it. If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 6. Actually, don't worry about it. I'm going to put it on the screen. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. Can we have it? Okay. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Now, before we go any further, King James Version says, I have set the Lord always before me. So we're going to mix up the translations because I like that one better. I have set the Lord always before me. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Now, the will rest jumped out to me because the will rest in Hebrew is shokan. 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 And what that means is settle down. Settle down, dwell, be. I will be. I will settle down securely. That's what this passage is about. That's what Shawcan is about. Settling down. I'll never forget it. I used to love Michael Jordan. And I'll never forget it. They had a lead in a finals game, and the other team was coming back. And Michael Jordan, it was against the Knicks. It wasn't a finals game. It was an Eastern Conference finals game. And the Knicks were coming back. And Michael Jordan got blocked and then came the other way, all the way down, and blocked Xavier McDaniel. And everybody's excited, and he turns around and goes like this. And then they end up winning because it was Michael Jordan. But he just goes like that. And every time I think of resting or settling down, I see his face going. Every time I start to breathe a little, sometimes it gets very, my heart rate goes a little fast. I get nervous every single time I speak. Anywhere, all the time. Sunday mornings, whenever we do it. Midweeks, I get nervous coming here, and I see Michael Jordan in my head going, easy, easy, settle down, shock hand. So, now, these two verses are the picture of the spiritual walk. The Lord is with me, with him at my right hand. The Lord is with me, and all of those things are true. My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, and my body rests. We shakan, we rest. We shakan, we rest. However, the problem is when you see verses like this, you go, I'm really not resting secure. I'm not shakaning. My tongue is not joyful. My heart is not glad. That's the thing. These things are really hard to see sometimes. They're not always the present settings. And there's a reason this is around Christmas, because so often you go, now I'm going to say something, and all of a sudden your minds are going to go, and I'm never going to get you back. Or is your shopping all done? Now you go, oh my, I don't know where I'm going to find this. I got to go today. I got to do this. What am I going to do tomorrow, right? All of this comes with that. And then you have to deal with the traffic, and then you have to deal with everything in the world. So it's really, really hard to find that shock hand. So we go back to the beginning. These two verses are such a picture of our walk, okay? Because when they're not our present settings, when our hearts aren't glad, our tongue isn't rejoicing, and we are not shock hand, we take it right back to the beginning. And we set the Lord before me. We set the Lord before us always, right? That's what we do, and that's the picture. And when we do, we can see the truth, the big T truth. It's about love, acceptance. The stressors that are pushing in on us, stress was a metal term back in the day. That's where stress always came from. It was the things that you did to the metal to bend it and do whatever. You would heat it, and then you would bend it. Those things were the stressors. Stress was never something for us. It was a metal term. Stress is really just fear, but those stressors are real. So these stressors are seen in just the right light. There are attacks coming all over the place. And then we know who we are. We know who God is. We are reminded of the certain things that we know, and we understand and all of that. And then our hearts are glad. Our tongues rejoice. We will not be shaken. God gives comfort, peace, and joy. Now, that is everything that I am supposed to say, right? That is everything that you're going to hear in a church. Oh, that just put the Lord before you, and this is how it will be. But the truth is, do you feel that way all the time? Absolutely not. Now what? Now what? That's the interesting thing, and that's the thing that I find spirituality, religion stops short, because we say the things we're supposed to say, and that's where we stop, okay? But what we're going to do here is we're going to walk right into that stuff when that's not true, when we do not feel these things, when we are not shock hand. The truth is, the thing is, maybe they're not true to us now, okay? Because that's how it goes. Maybe those things aren't true to us now. They're always true, just not right now. You know what I mean? They're just not right now. And we remember Star Wars, where all the wisdom comes from. Just because it's dark out now doesn't mean the sun doesn't exist. So that's what we're talking about. So where do we go from there? This mindset, this way of thinking, this being, this shock-hand, has to be chosen. The choice begins, as the passage does, with setting the Lord before us. And the problem is, I can think I have, but too often I am shaken with a sad heart, a silent tongue, and a restless body, mind, and spirit, where I don't feel any of that. And then you would say to me, you put the Lord before you, like all helpful people would do. And that's a joke. It was a hilarious joke. But what happens is, when you say, well, put the Lord before you, I think I have. I study every day. My Bible is a mess. It's duct taped. It's a mess because I'm in it. I read these books. I write these things to Jesus. I pray. All of this. I think I have. Yet, I am shaken with a sad heart, a silent tongue, and a restless body, mind, and spirit often. So now what? The big question that we're going to be talking about today is neglecting to cease? Okay, that's where all of this comes back together. Is neglecting to cease, and that's a lack of intentional rest, setting something else before me? Is a refusal to rest relegating the Lord to another position? Okay? And it might be two. Still, that's way, way, way too low. You know what I mean? Is not ceasing putting something above God on the throne? And that's the big question. And I believe the truth of that is yes, because this idolatry in my own life, this idolatry of something else getting in the way of any kind of rest, of ceasing, of stopping, allows everything else to lose balance and it teeters, which it always will. You always feel it too, because it's a warning. Hey, wheels are shaking, things are coming off, but we push by. We push through because we're good. We're good, we're workers, we're independent, we're strong, we're dependable. So we push through, and then it falls apart, and then we're left shaken. Sad hearts, restless spirits. The catch-22 in my life, and I think it's everywhere, is the more I'm shaken, the more I try to control. Right? And control really is just another way to say, set something before the Lord. Right? That's a definition. And we're gonna label it right now. That's the definition of control, putting something else before God. So what happens is, I'm shaken, the wheels start to shake, and I try and hold them on real tight. And when I try and hold on real tight, when I try and control things, they shake more and more and more, and I try and hold them on more and more. And the holding them on makes them shake more and more, and it just keeps going. Crazy thing happened this week. And so I go to the gym, and I've had trouble in my life of ever taking days off from the gym because I struggle with weight. So what happens is, this I've eaten all the cookies. All the cookies. And I'll tell you, right, Carter? So what happens is, I've eaten all the cookies, and I'm sick all the time. I feel sick all the time because I've had too much sugar and all of that, okay? And I keep eating the cookies. But, so my weight keeps creeping up. Like a pound here and a pound there. And we learned this before. It's going to go down in a minute. I've lost weight over 2 years. I'm not going to gain it back Tuesday. So what happens is, Thursday was supposed to be my day off. Day off from the gym, and I should rest because my body's not feeling very good. I'm tired, all of this stuff. But I see my weight's up. Now, what I should still do is take a day off. I should cease. But instead, I think, I can really control this. So I go to the gym, and I feel rotten, worse than I did before. And then Friday, what did I find? Did my weight all fall off again? No, it's even higher. So this is crazy. But that's what I do. At that point, I should take a rest. I should put something else up. I should put well-being. I should put being, Shawkan, up and let things be. But instead, I try and hold them. This is how it works. So the question is, could it be that easy? And that's my other hilarious joke. Because there's nothing easy about rest in our culture. Nothing at all, because everything you see, everything you hear, everything, all of your input is telling you, you can't take a day off. You can't take a minute off, because then what? That's the thing. We are programmed to be producers, consumers. We are those days where we are not productive, we feel rotten. We feel like we've let everybody down. That's the thing. How was your day? Oh, I didn't get anything done. You ever say that? How about that? What about if you'd change it and go, I didn't get anything done. It was great. I got nothing at all done. That's the thing. But the answer to the question is, could it be that easy? Is yes. That's the hard part. And that's the part that we're going to have to struggle with. That's where the conflict and the rub comes in. Because it's yes. If we set the Lord before him, if we choose to trust him enough to cease, that puts him and us in our proper place. And here's another definition. We're going to change another definition, because putting him and us in our proper place is another way to say worship. Worship. Everything done from that posture is worship. If he is up there and you are not, everything you do is worship. Everything. And now, here's the big reveal. What we've been talking about all along in terms of rest is trust. That's what this has all been about, only I didn't know it. Only I didn't know it at all. I thought it was just a rest message. I thought it was take a day off. But it's not. Like so much, it's all just a question of trust. So now that we've gotten here, here's a couple observations about trust. There's three of them. One, it's interesting how much we do is driven directly by mistrust or a lack of trust. And you won't even, this is just shocking how much of our motivation comes from mistrust. In relationships, mistrust breaks up more marriages or relationships or anything than actual infidelity, than actual betrayal. We can't trust the other one not to betray us, so we either drive them away. How many times you do that? How many times you do it? Well, you're gonna. You're gonna, and you put up these walls. You distance yourself. You disconnect because, well, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. So we push away. We drive them away or force them into some real or assumed act of faithlessness. Now, I have a gift. It's a Christmas gift for you. Can we play it? I'm so excited. Enjoy. There's a great song, and it's called Suspicious Minds, and Elvis Presley sang it, and it's awesome. It is just awesome. And if you want to check that out, go ahead. He's in the white jumpsuit and sweaty, and it's glorious. This is not that version. This is the Fine Young Cannibals from the 80s. You're welcome.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say. We'll be right back.
That's why you're here. You know that's why you come here. Now, you're going to go home and get your 45s out and listen to She Drives Me Crazy? Because it's great. You forget how great they are. And the horns are the thing that killed you. I know. But the truth is, think about the song. How many of us? There is that thing. We can't continue to do this. We can't continue to walk around in this mistrustful frame of mind where we are the ones causing we can't walk out because I love you, but we can't go on like this. We can't continue. At work, there's backstabbing, there's fear, there's paranoia, there's suspicion, there's a checking up, there's micromanaging. Audits and the entire IRS are caused directly by a lack of trust. We keep all the records at work, such detailed records, because we don't trust our suppliers, our employees, our customers. How much paperwork do we do? Has anybody ever heard the acronym CYA? That means cover your butt. Right? Right? Trouble delegating? Do you? Okay, I'm going to hit you. Do you have trouble delegating? Where's that come from? Where does that come from? If you trusted the person to do it, you could give it away. But maybe they're not going to do it as good as you will, right? There, we have second guessing. I'll just do it myself because they might not do it right. Now, can we have the next slide? Listen to this. This is from a thing called Life Hack. If you took all that away, how much extra time would you suddenly find in your day? How much of your work pressure would disappear? I'm constantly amazed when people claim to be overworked and under constant pressure, yet fail to do the one thing most likely to ease their burdens: trust other people more. They don't delegate because they don't trust people to do what they've been asked to do, so they have to take on every significant task themselves. They attend every meeting, however futile, because they don't trust others not to talk about them behind their back or reach decisions they don't like. They demand copies of every memo, report, and email because they don't trust what might be said if they're not watching. They're constantly keyed up in tents, watching for rivals or other departments to launch some covert operation to undermine their position. It's not the pressure of actual work that's driving them towards some stress-related illness. It's their lack of trust in anyone and anything. Is it any wonder that we are close to total burnout? I asked the same question 2 weeks ago about rest. Is it any wonder that we're falling apart? How much work do we add to ourselves because we can't release anything else because you never know what they'll do? That stings, man. That stings. Now, number two, trust is faith. Now, there was a marshmallow test done It was a psychology test, and it was a marshmallow test. And what happens was they had these kids come in, and they all had a marshmallow. And the teacher said to the proctor or whatever, said to the kids, "You can have that. I'm going to leave this room. That marshmallow is yours. If you don't eat it, when I come back, I'll give you a second one." Okay? And as you can imagine, some of them did, some of them didn't, all of that kind of thing. Some could wait till the next one because, you know, when you have $5 in your pocket, you spend it. You don't save it because the thing that you really want is $7 or $8. You settle for the thing that's $4 because you have $5 and it can't just stay there. Same thing, marshmallows. Now, Bruno Martinuzzi on the marshmallow test says, does the child trust that there will be a second marshmallow? If previous promises made to the child were broken, the child may not trust that this time the adult will keep a promise. Trust is largely an emotional act based on an anticipation of reliance. It's that child's life up to that point which puts them in a place to either trust or not trust the person who's saying, "I'll give you another one." They think, "I don't trust that person. I don't trust that adult because promises have been broken to them before." Okay? This is how this all works out. So the big question that this gives to us is, do we have faith in the other? If you have been cheated on by a past partner, does that say that this new one will? Yes, often, right? often. If you let that friend get too close and you told them a secret and they told everybody, how are you going to do next time it's time to let someone in and carry your burden with you? Or are you going to say, no, no, I know what happens here. I know what happens here. I had this friend at work. I had a friend at work who was the most mistrustful person I've ever been around in my life. He didn't trust a soul. He had been damaged by his parents. He had been damaged by every single relationship he's ever been in. It was the saddest thing, and he was hard as stone. I loved him. And he used to say to people, you can trust Chad. Do you even understand? When new people would come in, he'd wear everybody out in the company. But he would say to the new guy, you're okay around him. Because he had, and it took years of doing right by him before he went, okay, maybe you're not like everybody else. Years. Every day. If one time I would have told somebody something he told me, it's all shot. Because everybody's like it. Can we have? Here it's coming, and it's a good one. I promise. The picture's great, though, right? Okay. It'll get up there. Someone has to begin the cycle of trust by an act of faith. It takes a conscious act of unconditional belief in that other person's good sense, ability, honesty, or sense of commitment to set the ball rolling. We'll get there. There's the aside that comes right after this. It's about other people. We're talking about our relationships with God, and we're also talking about our relationships with other people because they're the same thing. Sorry to break it to you. What's in your heart comes out of your eyes and your ears and your hands and your toes and everything else. Our relationships with God are our relationships with people. Sorry, I know that stinks. Let's move on. Will your trust sometimes be misplaced? Of course. I wish I could tell you that they wouldn't. But sorry, man. Sorry, bad things happen. And it's terrible. Life isn't perfect and some people aren't trustworthy. But will increasing your willingness to trust produce, on balance, a positive benefit? Will it make your life more pleasant and less stressful? I believe so. You have little to lose by trying. Before we get to the next one, have you ever tried that thing where you said, well, I'm just not going to get too excited about this? Has that ever worked for anybody ever? You can say that all you want, but guess what? There's nothing. You can't hold that. I'm never trusting anybody ever again, so I'm never disappointed. And yet you are disappointed all the time. Happens. Okay, last thing. This is from Love is Respect. Trust is something. Come on, give this one to me, baby. Give this one to me, angel, come on! I know. It's coming. I know. That's after the new year. We're going to talk about patience. What? You'll find that these messages often come to things I need to learn. So, trust is something that two people in a relationship can build together when they what? 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 Tell me that one again. Decide. Come on, man. When they what? To trust each other. You can't demand or prove trust. Trusting someone is a what? Choice that you make. It is a decision. It is a choice. Hemingway said, the best way, if you can find out, if you can trust someone, is to trust someone. Wow. It's so much. So the big question, and we've asked the big question several times, and this is the big question, and it's with him or with her or with God. Will you try? Will you try to make that choice? Will you try to make that decision? Because again, it's not a can or a should. You can and you should. You are made for this. There are all sorts of positive, emotional, psychological, spiritual benefits to trusting people. All kinds. And I could do that if you want for weeks and weeks and weeks. I could just detail all the benefits that come from trusting somebody. It's a question of will. It's a question of intention. And now let's take a step aside to God. Has God broken promises to us? That's the other big question that you sometimes have to wrestle with in the middle of the night. And it's always the middle of the night. Has God ever broken promises to us? Has he been unreliable? And if so, are these betrayals real or perceived? And in this case, is perception reality? How we perceive something is real sometimes. But while you're wrestling with that, because I can't wrestle with it for you, you're going to have to, and it might be tonight, and it might be some night, but it's going to be some night. Just because it didn't go your way doesn't mean that God broke his promise. If I got all the things I wanted, I'd be a miserable guy today, and I wouldn't be here, I can tell you that. So just because we didn't get it doesn't mean he's untrustworthy. Moving on, number three. Rest, manuha, is inextricably tied to trust. The question that we've been asking for weeks was, will we rest? And that is exactly the same question as, will we trust? Exactly. Equals. Will we rest? Equals. Will we trust? If we can believe what he says is true, good, loving, that he is in control and not us, that the world, as shocking as this may be, and maybe we've never heard this before, that the world will continue to spin, even if we stop producing, if we are not productive today, the world will continue to spin on. If we can believe that we are valued beyond what we do or earn, and that our worth is not tied to what we do, but to who and whose we are, that we are not deep down only working machines. If we can believe those things, if we can, isn't that a beautiful dream? So will we trust? Will we trust enough to let go, to open our hands, to stop, to cease, to shock hand? And it's the difference between life and death. Rest, wholeness, shalom, life is directly related to our decision, our choice to trust. Directly. Life, shalom, peace, rest, wholeness. Or we can continue to close ourselves. We can continue to live lives of control, worry, anxiety, loneliness, anger, frustration, exhaustion. Or we can build walls. Choose. We have a choice. We have a choice. There's life, there's peace, there's rest. There is shockhand, and there are walls, and anxiety, and worry. So which will we choose? Which will we choose? That's the thing. All of this comes back to, will we choose? Tomorrow, we're going to have a conversation, and I'm going to put a picture up there that I saw in the retreat a couple of weeks ago, and it's a picture of Jesus knocking at a door, and there's no handle on the outside. He can't come in unless we let him in. That's the beauty of that picture. And that's the beauty of a walk of faith. He's a gentleman. He will pursue you. Tomorrow, we will talk about this kid. And now, probably, actually, he was born in October. But we're going to say that it was tomorrow. Okay, that's fair. But that's the thing. This baby was him coming for you to pursue you, to give you the choice to love him back. It's your choice. He was never going to make you. That's why the question of why does God let stuff happen is so complex. Because if God were to not let stuff happen, then you couldn't choose either, and that stinks. Because I would really like him to make decisions for everybody else, but not for me. I would like to make my own decisions. I'm independent. I can handle it. I control things, right? But that's not, God bless you, that's not how God works. How God works is to give you the choice. He is trustworthy. He is good. He is kind. He has loved you from the beginning. And now he says, will you love me back? That is a lot. That is what this rest and work conversation has been about. And it was always too much for me to deal with at the time because I just thought we were talking about Manuha. Now, Julian, when you go back to school, you're going to say Manuha, and everybody's going to love it. Well, they're going to say, what are you doing this weekend? Manuha. And let everybody else deal with that. So, this is the thing that we didn't know. We were talking about taking a day off. That's what we thought. We were talking about working. We were talking about laziness. We were talking about all of this stuff. We were talking about rest. We were talking about going, it's yours. It's not mine. We were talking about stepping off of wheels. But no. All of this, and it's no coincidence. I didn't plan any of this. It was supposed to be one. And now it's no coincidence that tomorrow's Christmas, and now the question is, will you love me back? Here's a baby. Here's a baby, and with, you're going to hear a lot of this tomorrow. Sheesh, maybe I ought to stop. Come tomorrow anyway, because it's going to be better. Maybe. This is pretty great, I think, right? That's what Dan's saying. Right? Wow, it can't get better. But the thing is, this baby came, and all the things that were between us, all of the walls that were between us, that baby knocked down. Now the walls we're building because we can't make this decision. So what he's saying is, will you love me back? The walls aren't his anymore. All the stuff that was done in Genesis 3 to make us think that we were Genesis 3 people instead of Genesis 1, they're all gone now. And now all we're left with is, will you trust me that I'm there, that I'll catch you? And this is also, all of this is also the definition of faith. And as far as rest and manuha goes, if you can have the faith to trust him, to accept this gift, to stop running long enough and open your heart and your hands. If you can do that, one of the promises of the Bible is that if you will know the joy and the unshakable peace that comes with the love that he is. Back to Psalm 16. If you can set the Lord before you always, you will know joy, peace, you will know love, and you will know a restless spirit. And let's be very, very honest, that's what we're all looking for. We're looking for somebody to love us, and we're looking to breathe, and we're looking to know who we are. I love Amen. Angel Lee, have at it. Oh. And Mariah, and no Kellen this time. Thank you, everybody, for not yelling out Freebird. I wanted to, too.
How many kings? Maybe. It would be an honor for me too. See? Words would be nice.